If you would turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Let's actually begin reading in verse 22 of Ephesians 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Our Father, we do thank you for the time we've been able to share today already. Lord, we just appreciate you so much. Lord, our words and even our songs could never express the gratitude that we have, that you've saved us, washed them from us from your sins and your own blood, and have given us yourself as our Lord, as our heavenly husband, as it were, as our master and our king, our Savior and our God. Lord, from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, we appreciate you. We praise you. And Lord, we want to be a grateful people. Lord, we want to always be filled with gratitude for all that you bring in our life. Lord, you're so faithful to teach us and to discipline us, to restore us. Father, you're perfect in all of your ways. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge your sovereignty in our lives. Help us as your people to strive to be like you in all of our ways. And help us as families to model Christ in the church. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, I believe the Lord would have me to speak to you from this passage concerning wives and husbands. And we'll start in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Firstly, it is a serious thing to be a wife, to be a helpmeet to the man of God. You say, well, it is not the man of God. Well, then you have no business in marrying him if he is not God's man. If you cannot say that this is the man that God brought to me, then you are setting yourself up for heartache. Indeed, God has caused you to be the helpmeet to the man of God. So before you determine, young people, to become someone's wife, and take up the seriousness of that call, you had better know that God has prepared you for it. And you had better know that this is the man that God has prepared. Or are you willing to be the instrument of molding for this person that you're about to marry? Or wouldn't you rather just have God do it without you and then bring the man to you? See, here's the question. There's one question. Is this God's mate for you? That's it. We can fall into all kind of worldly philosophies trying to determine which mate that I should take, and should I take this one or that one. First of all, the Scripture says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And young people, let's get out of this idea that we have to be out searching for a mate. The Scripture teaches that it's better to remain single if you can. Paul said this in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It says, to the unmarried and to the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. And of course, there's other instructions in that passage, but I want you to know that singleness is not a curse. It is a time of preparation and service to the Lord. Just like your future mate is being prepared. You see, God is preparing you in your time of being singleness for the person that God has chosen for you. The goal that we have is not to get married as soon as possible. That's a worldly idea. You say, well, they used to do it years ago, age 16 or 17. It's a worldly idea for us to seek to be married. We should seek the Lord's will. And if it is the Lord's will for us to be married, then God will bring the person to us that we're supposed to marry. We're not supposed to be like the world, running around dating this one and that one, trying to see who is a good fit, trying out different people. It borders on blasphemy for us to think that we need to do God's business. We need to stop trying to do God's work man's way and be willing to wait on God. That's what God has called you to, young people. You're getting out of high school. You're fixing to go into college. I acknowledge that you're of marrying age. And if it's God's will for you to be married, then He will bring someone to you and you'll know. You'll know that this is God's choice. But what you're called to do right now, young people, is to wait on God. Prepare yourself. Let God prepare you. See, let God do a work in you. If you're to be a wife, as God intends for you to be a wife, then God has the exact husband that He's chosen for you. We should just listen to what's going on in our life, and if our focus is on me and getting my needs met, young lady, do you want some man who is focused on himself and getting his needs met, and he sees you as part of the answer to getting his needs met? You are fixing to set yourself up for a world of hurt if that's what you're looking for. Young man, are you sure that you want to be someone who is just there to meet the needs of that young lady? You both are called to serve God and to wait on God. Let's get back to being biblicists instead of falling for worldly philosophies and telling us that we have to do it a certain way. You know, I'm just convinced that if we see the calling to be a wife and a husband in the way that God teaches us, it'll cause fear and trembling before we go running around trying to just pick up and snatch up the first person that comes along that seems to be a good fit. It's not whether it's a good fit for you, young man, young lady. It's whether it is God's fit. Is this God's will? Have you seen the hand of God in this? Has God ordained and brought all this together? Or can you see the hand of man? I'm guilty as anybody else. I've tried to set my kids up as they were growing up and thought I'd pick and choose and have this and one, that one. I know what I want. But I acknowledge I don't necessarily know what God wants. I believe that it's good to get godly counsel from mother and father. But there comes a point in time, the Scriptures teach, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And if she is God's fit, then that will be no problem. God knows exactly what you need. He even knows the desire of your heart better than you do. And God loves to surprise His children. He has His ways of, somebody talked to me not long ago about coming to this church, and I could tell that they were interested in the women that were here. And I was like, I'm not married, are there people? I thought, what in the world are you talking about? What is this, the dating room or the church? We are not here for you to pick and choose. And I just kind of felt, I just go somewhere else. Because I was afraid he'd snatch up one of our kids. He doesn't want you to be looking for your husband. He wants to bring him to you. And probably at a time you least expect it. And if you're submitting to him, wanting to be a godly wife, that's a good thing. If you disobey this advice, as so many other women have before you, and take it upon yourself to look for a mate, you might find someone, but the chances are that someone you find will not be the right one. Just mark it down from a fairly old man who has seen this happen in my churches time and time and time again. Where the young lady goes out and she thinks she's got to find a man, and so she settles for less than the best. And in her heart, she's convicted that this might not be the time, but she's not been taught, and he's not been taught, to wait on God. These young men are so filled with testosterone and just wanting to get a woman so they can have a sexual relationship, and they end up breaking this young lady's heart and not being the godly man that God wants for them to be. And there's two reasons why people don't wait on God. If there's a desire to be a wife and a husband, and there's only one, I believe that. God has a mate. And by the way, He is preparing him or her right now. Just like He's working in your life, young person. God is preparing them. Aren't you excited about that? Somewhere, God is working on someone that He's going to give to you. That ought to make some young lady or some young man shout hallelujah. He's faithful, all right? God is faithful, and He knows what He's doing. And He will bring you the right person. The reason so often young people are not willing to wait on God, number one, they don't know God. They don't know God. They don't know His ways. They don't know the Word of God. They're not willing to wait and serve God as a single person. Listen, this is a precious, precious time in your life. If you're single here this morning, this is a precious time for you to be serving God and waiting on God and letting God use this. Listen, I've seen so many young people, all of a sudden they meet someone and they think, oh, this might be it. And all of a sudden, their life is all wrapped up in this person. Warning signs all over. Self-centeredness all over. There's no longer any waiting for God and sacrificial service. It's all about this person. Now, I admit, there's a beautiful honeymoon time in the life of someone who gets married. But listen, It's all about God. It's all about God, guys. Even sex is all about God. We're to be modeling Christ and the church in a sacrificial, unselfish life. Wives that don't know God will not wait on God. Number two, selfishness. Just selfish people. It's all, their life is all about them. Young people, it's easy to be drug into this thinking that you have to devote yourself to making yourself appear the best and putting on the best front. Listen, I want to know when my children get married that they're getting who they think they're getting. Otherwise, you're defrauding them. Young man, if you marry a young lady and she has certain expectations of you that you've led her to believe because of the appearance that you put on and that's not who you are, you're sinning. You're defrauding that young lady. And young lady, if you make yourself to be something that you're not, so that he thinks he's really getting something good when he's not getting something all that great, as you're more of a self-centered person and it's all about you and you've not let on that you're high maintenance, you're defrauding that young man. And both of you need just to wait on God. Amen. Somebody understands. Wait on God. My sister, I don't want to brag on my sister, but she lived a sinful life until God saved her. She was virtually on the verge of becoming an old maid. She was thinking about that, she thought, well, am I going to be able to bear children once I get married? Come to find out, no. She could not bear children. But she got just the right guy. If the Holy Ghost would send me on a mission and hunt all over the world and talk to all the guys, honestly, I think I would have settled on Mike. I would have said, this is just who she needs. And God is going to make a beautiful... And God has. Their life hasn't been perfect. Listen, marriage is not complete wedded bliss. It's work. You want to outdo her? Shout hallelujah. Wives. Now I get to the part where I guess this might be one of those I've had more people mad at me than any other verse of Scripture I've preached on. That just because we understand it wrong, we have a worldly mindset. Feminism has done crept into the church. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Or you could say, because of the Lord. Submit. This is God's idea, not mine. This is God's pattern. The word here is a little different than that used in Colossians and 1 Peter. It has the general idea that a wife has a husband. All right? And see, a woman might know how to submit to a man out in the workplace and in different situations, but have no idea about submitting to their husbands in the Lord. And so consequently, because God's order is not in place, see, God has an order. God has ordained that there is an order. And in the family, He says that the husband is the head of the wife. Wives, submit yourself to your husband. Now, in 1 Peter and in Colossians, the hupostasso means to arrange under. It's like you could say that the husband is the general of the home And the wife is, well, basically whatever the husband assigns. You want to make her captain, all right? If that's your advice and consent, I'd start a little lower. Work it up. That's Bob Scamber's own interpretation. I know this. When it says, wives, submit yourself to your husbands, the two are not equal leaders, my friend. The two are not equal leaders. You can try to pervert the Word of God and live in rebellion all you want to, but God's order is that the husband is the head of the wife. And she is to submit herself to her husband as to the Lord. She is not to be an equal leader in this family. That, listen to me, that is to pervert the Word of God. Even if you relinquish your leadership, shame on you. Shame on you. You should be the godly head of the home. But the wife, see, the husband is the head of the wife. In other words, being the head, if you cut off the head, the body dies. See? We're to be like Christ in the church. Your life is to be your husband's life. Your life as a helpmeet, submissive to your husband, is to be your husband's life. You're a helpmeet to your husband. You want your own life? Then don't get married. If you want separate lives and separate banking accounts and separate decisions and everything's equal, then either don't get married or acknowledge that you're not living marriage God's way. You're to be functioning as a helpmeet to your husband. How are you doing that? Because if you're not, the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Boy, I know that's difficult. But God hates rebellion as much from the husband as from the wife. And Paul says, wives, submit to your own husbands. What does he mean here? Your own husbands. Listen, you are to walk by faith. God didn't say for you to make sure your husband is dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's right. Faith is trust, listen to me, trusting God to work in your husband. Will you do that? You just pray. Do you believe that God answers prayer? I do. You are not here to change your husband. You are here to submit to your husband and to trust God that His Word is true. God works all things together for good. And rather than you trying to wrestle with Him and fight and criticize and make your home a living hell, submit to your husbands as to the Lord and trust that, listen, God is more than able to make your husband's life a living hell. I say that reverently. But He's much mightier than you are. You are the weaker vessel. Woe be to the man who has a wife that submits to her husband and prays that God would make him a godly leader. Oh. Sometimes I think I'd rather have my wife in rebellion than submitting to the Lord and praying. And the Lord lays His hand heavy on me and chastises me severely until I decide to get off my lazy butt and lead and do what I'm supposed to be doing as a man. Ephesians 5, 33 says, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The word there is phobia. You know what that means? At the very least, it means to reverence and venerate. Husband. Husband. That's what God has called you to. Are you sure you're ready for that? Wait on God. Submitting to the Lord. Listen, let God shape and make the person that He wants for you before you get married. God knows what He's doing. Wait on God. He's faithful. He will work it all together for good. Submit to your own husbands. Now, I'm not trying to chase a rabbit trail. But when you submit to your own husband, you live so as to please your own husband. That means, young ladies, that you dress for your husband. You're not to dress, and I'm not trying to be legalistic, but you're not to dress as to attract the attention of other men. You ought to dress modestly. The Scripture says, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, the clothing you wear. This is in 1 Peter 3. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. You know what you should fear is attracting the attention of other men. Dress modestly as a Christian woman. Let's look Christian. Ladies, please cover yourself. Basically, in today's vernacular, we don't need to see cleavage. Put on a little t-shirt under the shirt you're wearing, if you're bending over as immodest, and stop pouring yourself into your pants. Listen, basically, if it looks worldly and it starts to attract the attention of men, then it is immodest. We don't have to be legalistic about it. It's common sense. We're not here to... You should only attract your husband. I mean, we got a sex-saturated society, and we spend extra time holding guys accountable. I mean, if I get a guy in my or Scott, we've talked about this a lot. It's almost to where any person that we talk to, we almost want to say, "All right, what pornography are you watching, or what sex problems do you have?" It's so pervasive. And so, yes, we do need a little help. Yes, some of our men have humbly whined and complained that we need to look modest, and we should attract the attentions of our own husband. If it's attracting attention to yourself, you're here to worship self. By the way, men who are married, this is your job. My wife often tells me before we come out of the house, "What are you looking at?" So I'm just checking you out. I got two things in mind. You know, she will take my advice and can sit, and I will advise her. And I'll say, I think maybe, I say this humbly, maybe that used to fit. I just realized I bit off more than I can chew. Okay. But you understand what I'm saying. My wife is not an immodest woman. But it is our job, it is our responsibility, men, to ensure that we are modest. And thinking isn't legalism, is it? If you just think about it, if you just contemplate it, okay, am I going to work to attract other men or to stand out? And I think it's wrong. Now, men, I'm sorry, but there's a shape to women's bodies, and you need to get over it and discipline yourself. Get over this continual fascination, like a little boy who wants everything he sees that he likes. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Could I talk to the husbands? Husbands, don't call yourself a husband until you learn how to die to yourself. What a high and a holy calling to be like Christ, a husband who is himself its Savior. Now you might know about the leadership or the Lord or the master part of the husband, but what about the part of being her Savior? You are to save your wife. Talking to all the young people lately about marriage has brought to my mind the fact that so many husbands fail to simply understand that they are called to lay down their lives for their wives. If we're to be examples of the relationship between Christ and the church, we must first of all give ourselves sacrificially for our wife. So many men want to be head of their wives, but not their Savior. I say Savior in the sense of Christ being the Savior to the church. This is what Paul means when he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So men, what are you giving up for your wife? You're supposed to be giving up your life. Your wife comes before everyone. Your wife comes before your buddies. Your wife comes before the people at work. Your wife comes before the church. Your wife comes before your children. Somebody say amen there. Your wife comes before your children. We do not idolize our children and put them on the pedestal so that our lives revolve around our children. Amen. Some of us need to repent in this area. Give up your life. You have no right to demand that your wife submit herself to you unless you're being her Savior and giving yourself up for her. And by the way, she knows it, you know it, and the kids know it. You're to be Christ to her. You are to love her as Christ loved the church, and many of you aren't. You want to be the center of everything, including the life of your wife, but your life is so self-centered that the picture you're supposed to be is warped. We have a selfish Savior in the home. Christ, on the other hand, was selfless. He laid down His life for the sheep. The primary example that every married Christian man should be is one of dying daily for his wife. And it taking the time, for goodness sake, get home, and it's not all about you, but inquire as to your wife's needs and spiritually lead your wife. It's time that women stop leading the church. By that I mean the evangelical church today is just jam-packed with women. Why? Because there's no men to lead. Or there's men, but they're passive men. Selfish men. Men, die to yourself and be a man. Stop worshiping the God of pleasure and die. Live sacrificially is not just working a job. Your wife is the result of what you have made her. When you first took her hand at the altar, you committed to cherish her even as Christ cherishes the church. Men, what have you done to your wives? What has your wife become? Why are our wives not rejoicing? Is it because you're still so very much alive to yourself? If so, it's no wonder then that your wife finds it hard to respect your walk. When I see a wife that's not rejoicing, normally the husband has dropped the ball somewhere. You know it. She knows it. The kids know it. Your responsibility is not to pay for the drugs to make your wife happy. Those are drugs which are simply replacing what you ought to be doing as a godly, spirit-filled man. And I'm not saying that there's not a place, but I'm saying there is an absence of godly, spirit-filled men who love their wives and lay down their lives and sacrifice their all. And if we had those men, church would be a lot happier. Do you not see the church rejoicing? What does the world think of the church who is not rejoicing? What a poor Savior he must be. This people who are called the children of God do not seem to be filled with joy that this Savior spoke, so often spoke would be theirs if they would bow to Him, and they have no joy. What do you think of the wife who has no joy? It is that the husband is not being the Savior. The Savior gave His life. Later on He says that He nourishes and cherishes it. Husbands, nourish and cherish your wife as Christ does the church. To nourish is to bring up to maturity, to nurture spiritually and to lead strongly. To cherish is to cherish with tender love, to keep warm with love. Are you kind to her even when it hurts? Are you a selfish man? Are you envious of her talents or gifts? Are you rude to your wife? Do you criticize your wife? Do you talk down to your wife? Can she count on the fact that you will do without in order to put her first? Or does she have to walk around on eggshells around you? Or is she uncomfortable with her with being herself because of you? If this is the case, men, then shame on you. You should repent of your sins of pride and arrogance. Pride goes before a fall. Our wives and kids should not have to walk around on eggshells because daddy's coming home. How ungodly. How unlike the Lord Jesus Christ. Does it make you happy when your wife fails or is embarrassed by something or someone? Listen, are you patient with your wife? How patient is God with us? Or do you lose your temper always like a little boy throwing a tantrum who can't control himself? Get angry. Are you patient, nourishing your wife, cherishing your wife, treasuring your wife, blessing your wife, praying with your wife, reading Scripture to your wife, teaching your wife, speaking with you? Listen, if all these things aren't in your life, something needs to be shaken up. We just can't continue like this. Amen? Let's not continue like this. Do you make every effort for her to succeed in being a wife and a helpmeet? This means, guys, provision, comforting, blessing, guiding, thanking, appreciating, praying with her, ensuring that she has a walk with God. I get up all the time and I ask my wife, have you been in the Word today? A lot. If I haven't seen her praying, I'm asking, how's your prayer life? How's your walk with God? What are you reading today? If she has a question, I'll try to answer the question. If not, I'll get her an answer somehow. I'll sit down and talk. Sometimes I'll just sit there. But I'm not a passive husband. I'm waiting. I'm communicating. I'm cherishing. I'm holding her. I'm talking with her. I'm serving her. And I'm not an example of a husband, but I'm striving. Guys, I'm asking you, are you striving to lay down your life and be the head, the spiritual leader, and the Savior of your wife? He's saying everything is about the Lord. Having faith in the Lord. That you don't have to be a control freak and change your wife. Just like she can't change you, your job is not to change her into a woman of your own image. We're called, each of us, to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is able, through the godly prayers of a man that loves God, to change that wife. Do you believe in God or not? Do you trust that God is able? Of course He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. So don't be whining, complaining about who you got. Just praise God that you have this wonderful gift called a husband and this wonderful wife, and trust God that God is going to work in your mate's life. There ought to be that white hot romance in Christians' lives. We got more to rejoice about and to be romantic about. We're going to be in heaven forever together. And like Scott said, he kind of burst my bubble there. But it's not going to be the same. But we're going to be there worshiping God. We're going to be caught up in Him together. And this is all like training ground for that. So just two main points. Young people, I'm exhorting you. I'm exhorting you, don't rush it. Wait on God. Now you say, well, Paul said it's better to marry than not to burn. I'm going to tell you something. It's better for you to work on stop burning and stop fulfilling your lust and being a self-centered person, because you're just going to drag some other self-centered person into your life and you're going to ruin the whole thing. How about waiting on God until He matures you? Until you become the man that that woman deserves. Or if you really love her, just acknowledge it and say, it'd be better for you not to marry me because you deserve better. You know what? God's able to bring you together if it's His will. And He will. He's perfect. Don't you guys... surely you know this. You believe it. You understand. He's perfect. He has out there somewhere, I'm going to tell for each single person, there's someone perfect out there. God is working on them right now. Right now. And you don't want them running around trying out the goods. If you could, you would say to them, hey, Lord, send them a message. Wait on me like I'm waiting on them. And boy, one day, when it all comes together like we've had several in this church, and they walk down the aisle, we're just like, glory to God. Doesn't mean that the testing's over. But at least if you got God's person, you got a good start. Whoever you've got, wives, lovingly submit to your husbands. They are the head of the home. Husbands, love your wives. Love them as Christ loved the church. Let's pray together. Father, I believe with all my heart that I've listened to you as I was studying, that this is what you wanted me to say. And Lord, I'm not ashamed of your word. We do ask for grace. Lord, we don't want to be legalistic, but we want to believe the word. We want to live the word. So help us, Father, and give us grace. In Jesus' name, amen.